Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Do you ever get the feeling that I don't know what I'm talking about? I know what a meatloaf is. It has no arms. It's just a strap over your shoulders. Holy crap.
And now, today's episode.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Yeah, so much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Okay, that's enough. Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm the one in the middle. You're looking especially good today. Did you take a shower today? Was this your once a week shower? I know. There's no reason to shower. I'm not around anybody ever, so, like, what's the difference? I practice good hygiene. I don't have good hygiene. I just practice it. That's like the term practicing physician. Give me a call when you got it down good. Practicing. God. This is a special day. I have a great guest. I'm not going to tell you who it is. You have to guess who it is. No. 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 No, keep on guessing. It's okay. No. No. Okay. Look at pictures of myself from years past, I get sad because I don't look like that anymore. I look different. I don't look as good as I did when I was in my early 20s. That's a sad thing to do. Don't look at pictures. Don't look at things from the past. It's very, very sad. All right, on that happy note, welcome to the program. This is, again, the Ron Van Dam Show. Again. Thanks for clicking. I have a great guest today. John Shanahan is joining me. He is one of the writers on this thing, and he does the opening announcements and the comedy commercials and things like that. And every once in a while, we just sit back and we chew the fat. We find a fat kid and we chew him up. We talk about everything. Nothing is off the table. Nothing's even on the table, to be honest with you. Nothing's planned. It just happens. So you can eavesdrop on two crazy bastards. And as a matter of fact, why even waste any time? Grab a glass, join the party. It's time to go drinking with Mr. Shanahan.
And now we're drinking with Mr. Shanahan, drinking on the phone, drinking with Mr. Shanahan, so he don't have to drink alone again.
Yes, it's time for drinking with Mr. Shanahan, and as a result, that's what we're doing. Good morning, John. Good afternoon.
And good night and evening to you as well, Mr. Van Dam.
I think we've covered every possible time of day.
Well, because you have a massive global audience, you don't want to cut anybody off.
You and your massive...
Those guys in Shanghai are listening, and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning.
You've got this massive global thing going all of a sudden.
Everything's global. We live on a globe.
Well, it's global now. Hey.
Yes?
This is called Drinking with Mr. Shanahan. I think we should start from the beginning.
Okay.
Are you drinking at this point?
I am drinking right now. Actually, I I poured myself a little something just prior to your call.
Well, hold it up. What is it?
Okay. Well, we've talked about this before, actually. Mm-hmm. This is the wine that occasionally smelled like bubblegum baseball card or baseball card bubblegum, which doesn't now. But it is from a vineyard called Pine Ridge, and they don't sponsor your show yet, but they should. I think that if anyone listens to this and they run some kind of wine drinking outlet, if you'd like to sponsor Drinking with Mr. Shanahan, by God, you give me a call. We'll talk. We'll talk dollars. But this is a lovely little white wine. It is mm-hmm. made of a blend of Chenin Blanc and Viognier grapes, and it's yummy.
Were you speaking English just then?
I was. I we're not going to dive into another like full-on half-hour talking about wine, but actually Viognier mm-hmm. is it's usually used as part of making Chardonnay. Hmm. It's one of the wines that one of the grapes that they use for Chardonnay. But on its own, it is also lovely, and I like it in with this Chenin Blanc, which is another wine that mm-hmm. typically is in blends, but also has its own place. Doesn't live with his parents anymore.
It's about time.
Oh, they threw him out, and poor Shannon went looking around, and he was homeless for a while.
Sad.
Turning tricks for spare change.
Can I be honest with the listeners, which I never do?
No, it's 75 years now of just lying like a bastard to your audience.
75 years, yeah, it's crazy. We talked yesterday. You were sipping on this wine that originally tasted like bubblegum, but doesn't anymore. I'm shocked and appalled that, like 3 days later, you're still on a. What is 3 days later? A week and a half later, you're still on mm-hmm. the same bottle of wine.
Do you really believe it's the same bottle?
Well, it sounded like it.
Or are there like seven more dead ones behind it?
Well, so every time you open it up, it smells like bubblegum, but then it doesn't?
No. It was only that first time got it. Again, one of the tricks of wine is it plays with your emotions.
It's a confusing thing. That's why I drink vodka. It never smells like gum.
It never smells like anything. It's vodka.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah. No, I opened this the other day, and... I have one of those little wine stopper things you put in, mm-hmm. and you suck all the air out of the bottle mm-hmm. so that it doesn't oxidize and turn yucky.
That's a thing. That's a thing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's mm-hmm. great. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. I had it for years. Mm-hmm. And it helps to keep the wine fresh for a couple extra days in case you're not, just jamming a straw down into the bottle and going to town.
I knew a guy when I was doing wedding videos. I knew a guy who was a photographer, and he actually... He took me down to his basement, and I don't want to get into too many details, but he took me down into his basement, and he actually had a wine cellar, and he had about 100 little things, the little slat things that you put the wine in, and it was cold down there. There was like cinder block walls, and there was dirt and mud and stuff, and it was dry or something. It was cold. And he actually had a wine cellar, and he had a little table set up, and he brought out a little board with cheddar cheese on it, and he selected a wine. And I said to myself, "Oh, someone's got no life, or they do have a life." I didn't know which it was, but he was so into wine, he actually had a wine cellar.
And and sometimes I wish I kind of had that sort of extra income and free time to be that person. But then didn't you kind of walk away from it going, that guy was kind of a dick about wine?
Absolutely dickly.
That's like, I don't want to be that person either.
But it didn't take a lot of money. He just built like wooden slots, like a rack, and he had a table with cheese. I mean, that was no money involved except for the purchase of the wine, I suppose.
At that point, why don't you just walk back upstairs to get the cheese? Bring the wine up to the... You probably have a perfectly good kitchen table.
Correct.
You don't have to... Come on, the cheese tastes better in the dank dungeon of doom. Come with me. We scrape the blue cheese off the walls here.
And by the way, with blue cheese, you wouldn't know how well... I'm so fascinated with blue cheese because it's extremely tasty with various foods, but you never know when it's gone bad. It's a man, it turns colors even. It's fascinating.
I agree. Anyway. It's the willful consumption of mold.
Yeah. Hey, how are you sleeping?
On my side, mostly.
So sorry I asked.
Facing away from the wife, if I can.
Yeah.
It's funny you should ask, because actually the past couple of days, I've actually woken up earlier than normal, and for no good reason. I think this morning it was I had a couple extra glasses of wine last night, and so my balance was off, and that. Does that ever happen to you, like in the days when you would overdo, then like you can't sleep?
Yes.
And you wake up and you're just frigging exhausted, but your body has just, all your chemistry is out of whack, and so you're just going to be up until you like power crash at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Exactly. It's not that I pass out, it's just that I get tired early, and then I wake up at 3 to pee, and that's it. It's over. Day is done. Gone the sun.
You know, this is the second time we've talked in a row that you mentioned getting up at 3 o'clock to pee.
Well, I don't know how old you are exactly. I think I asked you once, but my memory doesn't serve.
I'm 57.
Okay. You should be getting around pee time when getting up in the middle of the night is not a big deal. It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good. It's an empty feeling. But sometimes it's hard to get back to sleep. And that's an age thing. I'm surprised you haven't hit that yet.
Not yet. My whole thing I think as soon as I had children, you kind of get into this after a couple of years because, they want to get up at, 5:30 in the morning because there are cartoons on or whatever. Mm-hmm. And between that and then having to get them off to school and you fall into that. Like, I wake up at 6:30 in the morning regardless. If I sleep until 7, it's a mitzvah. It's just an absolute miracle that I actually made it to 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just fallen into this thing where typically I'm waking up between 6:30 and quarter to 7, not to pee, just to get up.
Right.
And there are days, like, especially on the weekends, I'll be like, you know what, I'm just going to lay back down. I'm just going to lay back down and try to think quiet thoughts. Maybe I can just log another 2 hours of sleep. Like people do. Like other people do. Yeah,
but they don't. See, but they don't. Other people don't.
My wife, my darling wife, will sleep until 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning on the weekends.
Yeah, women are different. I don't know what it is. I think it's a penis. If you don't have a penis, you can sleep just fine. No, I'm serious. There's a big difference between men and women as far as their sleep habits are concerned. So what you're telling me, let me just understand something. What you're telling me is you got so trained to get up early in the morning to take care of things that became your body clock, and now that you don't have to do that, the body clock never changed.
No, it really doesn't. Mm. It really doesn't. And, and I'm working from home right now, and I don't even need to be conscious until almost 9 o'clock in the morning.
Mm.
But like this morning, what the hell time did I get up? 5:30?
Oh my.
Like out of nowhere. I woke up at 5:30 and I tried to lay back down. One of the people whose music I played on my podcast had sent me at one point like this little like eye mask, like a blindfold that has like a little bit of space like on the inside. So like you in theory you're supposed to be able to put it on and keep your eyes open, but like, you're it's still blacked out, and it's supposed to enhance your listening experience or something. So I use it as a sleep mask most times. So I keep it by the bed, and I wake up at 5:30. I'm like, I'm just gonna try, and I put the thing on. I cover my eyes up real good. I try to get it as dark as possible, and then I'm just laying there going, this eye mask is not working.
Mm.
What if I move it to the left? No, it's not to the left. Maybe I should do the straps a little different. No, it's not the straps. You know what? I'm just going to get up.
I'll tell you that about 5-10 years ago, I've lost all track of time. I snored a little bit. My wife told me that I snored. And my response is always, no, I don't. She says, well, you do. You're sleeping. You don't know. You do. So I actually went to a sleep lab because insurance paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you take your clothes and your t-shirt, your pajamas, whatever, and you show up like at 10 o'clock at night, and they get you ready for bed in this lab. and they're in another room behind a piece of glass, and they wire you up with little suction cups like you're taking like an EKG on steroids. And you're supposed to fall asleep while you're like wired up like this. But the but that one time I went, the lab person who was spending the night in this little room, you know, with a big glass, she was beautiful. She was one of the most attractive people ever created by God. And I could do.
I want the special Ron Van Dam sax music playing in the background.
Exactly.
Now. So dub that in later for me. Thanks. Appreciate it.
It was one of the greatest evenings of my life. The fantasies were incredible, and I did not fall asleep. And she even said to me in the morning, "She said, you didn't sleep. I don't know if you snore or not." I said, "Well, you really shouldn't look that good."
would you like me to snore? I'll snore if you want me to.
Yeah. It was a very odd circumstance.
Just let me sleep here again. I'll snore. I'll fart. Whatever you want.
Dude, do you have a male or female doctor?
A male.
I think we go to the same medical facility, I believe, from what I recall. I don't want to mention it, but I think we do. The same location. I have a female, and it's caused problems.
Because you respond differently to the,
to
the female doctor?
She's not incredibly attractive, but she's a female. Mm-hmm. And the proctology exams and the physicals, it's just, why am I taking my clothes off and you're still dressed? It's that kind of thing.
I got to tell you the greatest story along these lines. Mm-hmm. This was not too long ago. I had to go have the back door checked for various reasons.
I get it.
And it was causing problems, so I went to see, and I sat, and again, it was a guy, male doctor, with a female assistant, which doesn't actually figure into this. But so we talked for a minute, and then he's like, "Okay, well, you know, we'll have a look." You know, he says, "If you'll just we'll step out, strip down, you know, from the waist down, put this around you, and then, you know, if you just, you know, kneel over this table, and yeah, and then we'll come back in and we'll have a look." I'm like, okay. So, you know, dutifully, and because I'll let anybody look at my stuff, I get partially undressed, and I wrap this thing around me, and I manage to work my way on over down to the table, down onto my knees, and bend over, and I'm waiting there, and that's the moment that I realize that he has a Pandora station on that's playing smooth jazz. And there's like this Kenny G ready for seduction soprano saxophone. And I couldn't help myself. I started cracking up hysterically. Sure. I was still laughing when they walked back into the room because it was one of the most surreal things that I've ever experienced in my life. Like, there's got to be a camera in here somewhere. Wow. Like,
that's like funny. It,
either that or I'm in for the afternoon of my life.
Funny. Damn, Kenny G.
It was just one of those moments where all the things came together except me. And
oh, thank God you didn't.
Oof,
yeah. Wow.
Yeah, true story. Absolutely true story.
I totally believe it. Have you had your first colonoscopy yet?
I did. I put it off for a while, but I did.
Uh-huh. Was it recent?
Within like the last... within the last year.
Oh, that is that's as recent as it gets.
Yeah. Wow. And I gotta say, you know, again, I put it off, and I am clean as a whistle, apparently, but but boy, the drugs they give you for that.
Fantastic, isn't it?
Knocked my ass right out.
Yeah. But lovely. Though.
And it's funny too, because I love, you know, when they set you up with these kind of things, like the little knockout drugs or whatever, and they, you know, they put the thing in and they, you know, and they tell you what's going to happen. Then they're like, "Oh yeah, okay, okay, no problem, yep." And then you see them make the slightest adjustment to a valve or something.
Yes, you know.
And you're thinking to yourself, "Okay, this is well." What you think you're thinking is, "Okay, this is going to start now." What you actually end up thinking is, "Okay, where are you?"
It's wonderful. It's funny because
everything's black.
Yes, they ask you to count down from 10, and you know as soon as you start counting, I'm not going to make it past 7.
Oh you, no! I, you know what? Know I think that. for this one, I got to 10. I was just
wow, that's fast.
Boom, out.
That is fast.
I do remember when I came back, like when I came back around, they were at the very end of kind of extracting the tube, and I was laying so that I was actually facing the monitor, and I kind of came around, and I can see like just the last vestiges of me up there, and I very very drunkenly went, "Hey, that's me."
Oh, that's pitiful.
They're like, "Yes, welcome back." Like,
that is funny. Now, the doctor didn't say he didn't use that phrase, "you're clean as a whistle," did he?
No. Okay. She, actually. Yeah, female doctor.
Oh.
Very attractive. John. Little attractive female doctor shoving a hose up my can.
Now
yeah.
Now you're getting it.
Telling you.
That's dear what I'm talking about.
Dear Penthouse Forum, I never thought it would happen to me.
Right. Yeah. Wow. So
no, they didn't say I was clean as a whistle. They said it was fine.
Very nice.
No whistles were involved and no monkeys were harmed.
It's not like they were blowing in there or anything.
You know what? I was out cold. They could have been playing a full orchestra.
They could have.
That's down here. Listen to the noise it makes.
Yeah. Who cares at that point? Whatever. Yeah, that's a fun thing. Did you enjoy the preparation for it?
Whew, I'll tell you. You know, it wasn't as horrible as everyone talks about.
Okay.
But I do think that it's funny when they say, like, you know, whatever you do, don't be too far away from the bathroom.
Correct.
You want to be right. Don't go anywhere. Right. Don't even think about going anywhere. Correct. Like, if you're not within arm's reach, you're in huge trouble. Yeah. And, you know, so I drank the first round of the stuff, and I got the lemon flavor. It was terrible. My wife couldn't find any other flavor.
Ugh.
So you've got that. It's already super puckery to begin with.
Yes.
And then lemon on top of it, and you just chug down through those things. I'm like, okay, no, yeah, not a problem.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, everyone says, you know, say this. I'm like, oh, you know, it's fine. Nothing's really happening. It was probably about 20 minutes. And it really was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, now's the time.
Yeah, you know. Like, you know.
The decision has been made for me. But you get to that point where basically you're just a faucet.
Yes.
And there is, I didn't know there was that much liquid in my body. Mm. So I guess what it really does is it pulls liquid from other parts of your body into your tract.
Yes.
And then it just helps to kind of shoot everything on through. Because after like the first three times, there's pretty much nothing up there anymore. Now you're just kind of like scraping the edges and just, you know, just shooting like a jet.
It's wonderful.
Oh.
What a cleansing, wonderful feeling it is.
It's a very purgative thing. It is a very cathartic.
Yes.
And it also, it does kind of make you go, wow, I had that much up there.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah, you literally, people have been telling me all my life, Ron, you're full of shit. And I, yes, I was. You're right, I was.
And here it is.
Right, it's a proof. No, it's true. I don't mind it anymore. As a matter of fact, I don't have one scheduled, but I'm not going to argue this time around.
Yeah, no, I think that was my thing. I was very, I'm one of those people who medically, I don't want to know what's wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of like, you know what, if I don't know, then it can't kill me.
I agree.
I agree.
If
I don't acknowledge that the bad thing is there, it can't do anything. Ha ha, da da da. So I didn't want to know, you know, because I do have some issues in that region, but no, it's
clean as a whistle. Clean as a whistle.
Nope. Nothing up there. No worries. Nothing to, you know, they didn't have to scrape anything out or hack anything off or, you know, put a robot part up there. You know, I was kind of hoping for a laser anus, but, you know, that would have been extra. Okay.
Yeah.
So I won't have the destructive fart power. It's great.
That's amazing. My doctor found an old cell phone that I had lost.
Was it still on?
No, it was from the 80s.
It's good that it wasn't still on because, you know, the roaming charges would have killed you.
That's true. You're right. It would have been awful. Yeah, that and a key to an old Pontiac 2000.
I was wondering where I put that. Mm-hmm. Now I remember.
Yes, and that was pretty much it. There were some other little items, but that was pretty cool. I thought that was really nice. And I found Jesus. I found Jesus.
Up there?
Well, around the corner.
Oh,
sorry. This is not going to thrill religious people at all.
I'm wondering where he was hiding out.
Yeah.
Ron's ass.
There you have it. Yeah, so there you go. It's fun to talk about getting old with people that are getting old with you.
Yeah, it's been interesting. You know, I blew my back out a couple of years ago.
I heard.
Which was bad. And now I walk with a charming limp. Mm-hmm. And, you know.
Well, you know.
It's kind of like, I'm glad I can walk at all.
Let me tell you something that could be comforting to you. Anybody who's over the age of 50 has something. Everybody. And I noticed once, I think I was sitting on a park bench in Boston Common back when you could walk amongst people. And I was sitting on the bench and I was watching people walk by of all different ages. And I realized nobody walks well. Some people limp. Some people walk to the side everybody has some kind of gait that is not right. And not everybody, but quite a few. Mm-hmm. It was very comforting, to be honest with you. It made me feel very okay.
It made you feel more able-bodied.
Yeah, it's why I used to watch Jerry Springer and Dr. Phil, because all these people with tremendous problems. I don't have those problems. I'm all right.
You've never worried that Dante might not be the father of your baby?
No, I've worried about similar problems, but never that specifically.
But I never felt the need to bring them onto a TV show.
Well, we should explain who he is. When I was doing radio, Dante was my producer who was behind glass in the other room a pheasant. Is that who you're referring to?
No.
I thought I was going with
kind of a standard issue, urban sounding name.
I shouldn't have brought that up then.
As offensive as humanly possible.
Okay.
That's what I was. I was going for the offensive part.
I had a producer at the radio station, and behind the glass of the producer guy, his name was Dante, and he was yellow colored. He wasn't Oriental or anything like that. He was jaundiced. He was a vegetarian, and he only ate air, and he was disgusting. His breath smelled like that, and he, for some reason, was stalking me in a very odd manner. It was very uncomfortable, and I thought that's what you're referring to.
No, but when you say he was stalking you in an odd manner, would he, like, make his own music as he did it? Because that's odd, you know, you're kind of trying to stalk someone, you're like...
No, that would have been more than I could have taken. No, it wasn't that
and,
bad.
Like, you turn around and, you know, you want to say something, and they go, I was going to get to the crescendo, wait!
No. Okay. See, it made me feel better about that, because no, it wasn't that bad.
Okay, it wasn't that unusual.
Didn't do his own music, so it's okay. Yeah, good, thank you. I appreciate that.
Did he like always come up behind you with a giant Slurpee that was just down to the bottom?
No,
he would slurp on it like while he followed you. So it was just like constantly. And you're like, Dante, stop that. Well, I'm not doing anything.
Well, no, I guess it wasn't that bad.
He didn't do these bottomless Slurpee and his own music.
No, now I feel silly.
Did he make siren sounds? Because that would be another strange way to do it.
Who makes
especially while you're drinking?
Who makes siren sounds?
Bottom.
I've never heard anybody make siren sounds.
Yeah, you know, like they're stalking you and going woo woo woo.
No,
woo woo.
Not even close. Oh, now I feel silly of even saying that.
Did he carry a complete turkey dinner with him as he was stalking you while making siren sounds, drinking a giant Slurpee, and doing his own music? Because really hardcore stalkers will, in fact, follow you around with a full turkey dinner.
I guess it wasn't that bad then. No,
you feel good about that.
He would simply touch me on the shoulder every once in a while. Whenever he talked to me, he would have to be touching
with
me.
The free hand that wasn't holding the Slurpee or the turkey dinner. I understand.
Now I'm getting it. Yeah. Well, thanks for bringing that up again.
My pleasure. You know, I'm just a little jealous because I've never been stalked by a jaundiced vegetarian stalker.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't happen a lot in one's life, but that did there. And, you know,
everybody has their own special bucket list, I guess.
I suppose so. Yeah. Do you have a bucket list?
Yeah. There's only one thing on it, though.
What is it?
Get a bucket.
I suppose that's important.
Thank you.
Yeah, no. There's nothing that you want to do that.
No, I really don't. I'm an incredibly boring person. Yeah. I don't have a lot of, I want to go here and I want to do this and I want to do that. I want to ski down the K2.
Good for you.
Right about now, I just like to go sit down somewhere and have a sandwich.
That's it, man. I feel I'm the exact same way. If there's something I wanted to do, I probably would have tried to do it already. But since I haven't, no. And everything's an effort. Everything's an effort. Bending down to pick up a penny off the floor is a whole thought process. And no, nothing. I'm not doing anything.
But if you put it on your bucket list, at least once you accomplish it, you're like, wow, I did the thing on my bucket list.
I suppose. I don't know anybody that actually fills out a list.
No. I'm sure that there are things people would like to do. That's great. But like, I don't have anything. I'm like, before I die, I want to do A, B, and C. Like, no, I just, if something comes up, I'll do that, I guess. You want to do that? It will probably be somebody else's idea.
Yeah,
Things that I will retroactively say were on my bucket list would be things that other people said. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? We're all going to go to Switzerland. You want to go to Switzerland? Hadn't really thought about it, but we're going now? Sure. Let me throw a couple of pairs of pants in a shopping bag, and we can go.
But you didn't write it down.
No. But I'd be like, and then I come back from it, probably with some chocolate, because I went to Switzerland.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, hey, where'd you get your chocolate, John? Oh, I went to Switzerland. I don't know.
I don't, bucket lists are for people that I think just want to show off, because on everybody's bucket list, if you have one, is to jump out of a plane with a parachute for some reason. And that's the big one. And that's like the last thing I would ever want to do unless the plane was going down.
I think that a lot of people come up with the bucket lists to show that they have, a creative spirit, an imagination, some ambition. Exactly. They want to be adventurous. I'm like, I was born without ambition. Mm-hmm. And, they came to my parents at one point and they said, listen, we have an ambition donor. he's up, he's in line for the transplant. And I was like, no, is just too much work. No, I'm good. No. So they gave it to somebody, Zuckerberg or someone. I don't have ambitions to do things.
Good for you. That thus is your bucket list.
Yep. Well, it's funny because I've never been a big traveler. Mm-hmm. I don't really enjoy it. I don't want to go. I have a weird perspective on going, to Europe. Like, people are like, you should go see the English countryside, beautiful little towns. I'm like, you know what those towns are full of? People who want to get the hell out of that town. Like, as much as you think it's a beautiful destination, there are people who are sick to death of living there and would do anything to get away from it. So I don't want to go someplace, that other people think is wonderful, but the people who are there think it's miserable. So I don't really care about that. So when I took the job that I have now, they were like, there is some travel involved, and we go do these customer stories, and you could go virtually anywhere, in the world. So do you have a passport? And I'm like, no, I don't. Like, you're gonna need to get a passport. I'm like, okay, whatever. So for the first time in my adult life, I went and I got a passport. Now, mind you, it was like a year later, year and a half after I had been to on this job. I hadn't been sent anywhere. I still didn't have a need for a passport, but they told me that for my job, I needed to have a passport. And I had to get it on my own dime, by the way.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And actually, I can, from where I am standing at the moment, I can see my passport sticking out of a box of papers, absolutely untouched, unsullied, unmarred by human hands from the day that I got it. And I look at it occasionally, and I'm like, I've got a passport. Like, I could just get on a plane, find some cheap airfare to, like, Ireland. I'm a Shanahan. I'm from Ireland. We're from County Clare.
That's true.
I could go see my ancestral home. I'm like, I look at the passport, and I go, that is just way too much work.
Yeah,
like, I don't want to.
Yeah.
I should be like, you know, here I am, you know, kind of in the waning years of my life. I should be like, let's go have adventures. Let's go places and do things. Like, I'd like to have a sandwich.
Exactly. I feel the same way. That's why they have 4K. So you can watch movies and feel like you're there. You know,
exactly.
Yeah, that's why they have it. I also feel very uncomfortable gawking at other people. Like, let's go to Luxembourg and see how the people in Luxembourg actually live. It's very odd. If someone came to my neighborhood and said, and I said, what are you doing here? Oh, I just want to see how you people live. It's like, what the hell are you talking about? What am I, a zoo animal? What do you mean, see how I live?
Oh, the Bostonians, they're such a nice people.
That's right.
They really are.
Look, there's one there, Harry. There's one standing over there near the lawn.
My sister lives on Martha's Vineyard year-round. She's been there for almost 30 years now. And she just cannot wait every year for the tourists to leave.
Sure.
To just go away. To stop enjoying her charming island that they came to see and be seen on. Mm-hmm. And just go the fuck away.
Yeah. I get it. There aren't enough boats that leave the island. There you are.
And it's funny. I get a hold of her, you know, every fall, mm-hmm. like beginning of October. I call her up. I'm like, how you doing? She's like, oh, they're gone.
Wow. You know, I have a question for her. How do they live on the island? I mean, how are the island people? Can I observe them for
they
a while?
Are they a robust folk? Are they simple yet rustic, wily in their ways?
And what do they eat?
When they ply their trade from behind the counter at the Dunkin' Donuts, is it charming like they say?
Look, there's one over there. All right, yeah.
It appears to be buying eggs at the supermarket.
How bizarre.
How charming. Take a picture of it.
Can I ask you, can I stand next to you? Harry, take a picture of us.
Here's a picture of Pamela with the egg buyer that we saw on Martha's Vineyard. Oh, a whole dozen, yes. It was adorable.
Here I am standing against a wall with one of them.
The single finger is just a thing that they do. It's a charming custom, really.
Apparently.
Every tourist gets the single finger.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, we're coming to the end of another episode.
Oh, fantastic. Talking to you again.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it's becoming...
Now what I did not address, because I've been disappointed twice in the past now, mm-hmm. but you were, once again, not drinking with Mr. Shanahan, were you?
Oh, yes. I don't know. Well, that doesn't prove anything. I am drinking. Actually, I'm having Grey Goose this evening.
Oh, you went the vodka route. Very nice.
I do frequently. Yeah, I do. I do that.
You goose frequently, do you?
No, that's the, well, it's the name of the drink. I didn't name it.
Oh, you sure?
Yeah. But as I've said, and I say this to the kids that are listening, of which there are none, I say drink responsibly, number one. And when you drink responsibly, admit that you're drinking. And secondly, have every alcohol, hard liquor, with water. Because, indeed. No, really, seriously, because that way you don't get inebriated, and at the same time, you're taking in your daily quantity of water.
You're staying healthy while you're Drinking with Mr. Shanahan.
That's the idea. And that's,
now, are you drinking? Are you a straight up Grey Goose kind of guy? Is there a little mixer going on in there?
No, it's Grey Goose and water.
Oh, very nice. Well, thank you for drinking with Mr. Shanahan.
Well, it's a pleasure. It's the idea of the whole thing. And, yeah, I'm always doing a little something.
And you,
there.
And you know, people can write to you at your email address for the show, which is hidden somewhere, and tell us what they were drinking with Mr. Shanahan when Drinking with Mr. Shanahan was on.
Well, why can't we give them your email then?
Because it's not my damn show.
Okay. Well, that would be ronvandamshow@gmail.com.
Oh,
And if you'd like to hear some great background music and some commentary on it, I think there's a place to go as well. Am I right?
They could go to hypnagoguepodcast.com. Fresh episodes right now every week, but usually every 2 weeks.
Yeah, but now, because people need entertainment, you're supplying it.
Excellent. I am indeed.
Excellent. Well, maybe we'll do this again next week. I have a feeling that'll be the case.
It's probably a good bet.
Probably you don't put money on that, but do it.
Now that we've covered colonoscopies, next week we'll talk about ball checks.
Ooh, wow. Make a reservation for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Two of them. like your testicles.
All right. That's pretty much too graphic. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Drinking with Mr. Shanahan.
Hit that theme.
And now we're drinking with Mr. Shanahan, drinking on the phone, drinking with Mr. Shanahan, so he don't have to drink alone again.
And there you have another edition of the popular series, Drinking with Mr. Shanahan, with that damn jingle. Every time I hear it, I'm up all night with that damn thing in my head. Well, anyway, it's catchy. That's what catchy things are, man. If you're a parent and you've heard that Baby Shark song, you know, Baby Shark, do-do-do-do-do-do, you'll never sleep again. That thing's in your head for eternity. Even when you go to heaven, people are walking around singing that thing to themselves. It's just an awful thing. It's some type of torture that was set up by a foreign government in order to drive an entire nation of people crazy. We're out of time for today. You've been wonderful. I don't know how you do it. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Thank you, John. Thank you to you. And until then, I wish you peace. Come on, sing along. You know the words. Can you imagine picking this out for karaoke? No.